will in your Bibles, in the Old Testament, Joshua. Old Testament, Joshua. Love Joshua. Man, I tell you. Preparing for the battle, okay? I don't know about y'all, but the devil is always alive. He's always active. He's always, you know, I'm meeting him head on all the time. I tell you, I'm glad I'm not walking with him, but I'm meeting him head on. But there's a battle to be fought every single day. You get up in the morning, I tell you, something goes wrong. You know, I always hate it when I get up in the morning, you walk outside to go to work, and you got a flat tire. I call Bill to fix it. No. But you got a flat tire, and you know, you'd have to either, it blows your day, or you just say, praise God, and get there and get after it, get it fixed, and go on your way. Praising God. Don't let the devil win the battle. He's always around, always facing. The children of Israel here in chapter 5 of Joshua were about to go into the promised land. Now let's read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, okay? So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the children of Israel until we had crossed over. Listen to what happened. Their hearts melted. Their hearts melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Now the enemies across the river, they heard about what God was doing in the Israelites' people. And they heard about the river drying up and they walking across. Their hearts just melted. How are we going to defeat this enemy? They were defeated before they even started, weren't they? Their hearts melted. Listen, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the heels of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, and the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. To all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Let's just stop right there. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that as these words come alive in the scripture, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, and Lord, that we will open our hearts to hear you speak from heaven. And God, if there's someone here today that is defeated, Lord, that the devil has defeated their life, Lord, there may be sorrow in their life, they may have a disease in their life, Lord, any way they are, they're defeated. But Lord, I pray this morning that you will open up their heart and let them have the victory that's only found in Jesus Christ. You are Lord, even in the valleys. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. By the way, I had my MRI. There is no tumor. So praise the Lord. You see, that's great news to me. It is just great news to me. I still don't know why I'm so dumb. But you know, that's great news. Here's the children of Israel. They're about to cross over. The enemy is across the river. The enemy has heard their lives are defeated already. And you wonder, why in the world does the children of Israel just go on in and win the battle? You see, you would think now is the time to go win the war when the people are already defeated because they are faint of heart because they've heard what God is doing. But God doesn't act that way, does he? God doesn't act the way we would act. God has some things to do to his army to get ready for the invasion. You see, good news that God is always, we're on the winning side with God. He has some things to do in our life before we can have revival here in our own heart. God always has some things he wants us to do if we're going to be victorious. God never gets, listen, he never gets in a hurry. He doesn't have to. God is always on time. Think about that. He's never behind time. He's always on time. Now let me share with you something I've learned over the 33 years that I've been pastor here. I've learned this from experience. People always say, "Preacher, this has to be done now." It doesn't have to be done now. If you don't have time to pray about it and seek God's face about it, don't do it. Usually, it's a mistake. You see, you ought to always seek God's face. I had this car salesman one time. He came up and said, "Now, if you want this deal on this car, you got to buy it today." I said, "No, I'm going to go pray about it." "Well, it won't be here tomorrow." I said, "Well, then God, what?" I said, "God don't intend me to have it if it's sold by tomorrow." It blows his mind. "What are you talking about?" I'm talking about God. You see, God, if he wants me to have that vehicle, then it will be here tomorrow. And if he don't want me to have it, then somebody else will get it because he intended for them to do it. Don't ever let somebody force you to do something by saying, "It's not going to be here tomorrow if you don't take it. It's a good deal today." No, you pray about it. You seek God's face about it. God is always on time in your life. I believe God guides our steps daily if you're right with him. You see, the Bible tells us that. The steps of a righteous man are led by God. The Bible says they're ordered by the Lord. He leads our lives step by step, even in the valleys. He's got there step by step. Now, God is getting ready to prepare his people for battle. Now, when you came to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to be born again, and if you haven't been born into his family, let me ask you this. What are you waiting for? He loves you. He gave himself on the cross for you. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants to forgive your sins. All you have to do is come by faith and say, "Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior." The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants you to come today. That's starting. You're born again when you come and accept Jesus Christ. He baptizes you with his Spirit. "Oh, the Spirit lives right here inside of me. He's one guides me day by day. He's that calm voice that's telling me what to do, how to guide my steps. He's that sometimes that voice that speaks to me and says, 'Don't do it, don't do it.' And then if I do it, he says, 'Listen, you need to ask forgiveness.'" You see, God is with us day by day, ordering our steps. And Jesus says here, God says here through his word, "Joshua, I've got something for you to do before you cross over." And the Bible says we are to be what? good soldiers. Endure the conflicts. Endure the hardness of life. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand and stand firm in that evil day, folks. If you don't have God in your heart, in your life, guiding you, you're already like these Canaanites and the Amorites. You're defeated. You see? You don't want to be like that. That God has stepped for us to prepare our own hearts for battle, our own hearts for revival. And let's look what the book of God says through the children. One is the preparing of the army. Now, as I've read two down to about six here, you find that there's two ceremonies. One is the ceremony of circumcision. It's a private ceremony. And then the other is a public ceremony. It's the Passover. Now, circumcision points to a relationship or cutting away of the flesh to have that obedience with God. And the Passover is the keeping of a feast. And God says, Joshua, I want you to make sharp flint knives and circumcise again the children of Israel. The Bible says for a second time. You understand in verse 6, they had come to the promised land, and instead of going out and conquering the land that God had given them, they said, oh, we can't do that. Those people are giants over there. We're just like grasshoppers to them. They will squash us in a moment. The children of Israel, God says, disobeyed his word. He said, cross over. They sent out a committee to look. They come back with a defeated report, and they wandered 40 more years in the wilderness until all the people there that were men of war, that had been circumcised down in Egypt before they left out, they had died. Now this other generation had come along. They hadn't been circumcised. And the Lord said, Joshua, listen to this. As a token covenant of God that I made with Abraham, all these men must be circumcised as a token of relationship with the Lord. Now, the rite of circumcision in the New Testament is our relationship with the Lord is baptism. You see, baptism is a token of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It doesn't save you, but it is a picture of your death, the death of the old life, and a raising up of a new life in Christ Jesus. That's what we are baptized when we are buried with Christ, raised to walk a newness of life. Oh, let me see. When you go through this ceremony, you're getting ready, I tell you. Your obedience to God. You're doing what God has asked you to do. What is God trying to teach us? Simply, I believe if we're to win spiritual battles, we will do it by spiritual means. You see? You can't win in the flesh. You're defeated even before you get started if you try to do something for God in the flesh. I can't preach in the flesh. I can't study in the flesh. You know, you've got to walk in the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Oh, let me tell you something. You don't win spiritual battles with the carnal means or the fleshly means, folks. That is why our methods for church growth and our methods are taken straight from the Scripture of God. The Bible says that God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Folks, I believe that. I believe that my God is a mighty God. He's an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God. There's nothing he can't do. if I'll just let him, he'll use my life. You see, God gives us a great choice. Another thing, if you are to be a good soldier, you have to deal with the sins of the flesh. Think about that. If you're going to be a soldier that God wants to use, you've got to deal with those sins that are in our flesh. The Word of God cuts those fleshly sins right out. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is a living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword." We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night in the book of Revelation. Let God's Word deal with some things in our life. What's holding you back this morning? What sin that you need to get rid of in your flesh? Maybe it's pride. Somebody was talking to me the other day, and I said, yep, pride goes before fall. Greed. What are you living for? Greed. Anger. You see, those are three little simple things: pride, greed, and anger, that gets most men. We're prideful. In the flesh, we're greedy. And then we have anger so many times. Let the Word of God deal with those things. Man, God can just cut those things out of your life. You wouldn't believe it, but I was all three of those things at one time. Prideful, greedy, and I had a problem with anger. Now, if you make me mad, it's a rare occasion. You know, I just don't get that way anymore. It's not because of them, I did, but God removed that from my life. And Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Now, he didn't tell you to really just cut your hand off. But if there's, he said, using an illustration here, an example, you know, you ought to eliminate those bad habits that are in your life that are slowing you down. Get rid of them. Cut them out of your life. Every one of us need a little surgery, don't we? Where we cut those things out of our life and let God's Word just cut those things, get rid of them out of our life. Now, the second thing I want you to look at is the Passover. The Passover was a ceremony that the children of Israel were used to. They was a reminder of what God did for them down in Egypt. You know, when the death angel passed over, God says, Moses, you tell the people to go and kill a lamb and sprinkle the blood over the doorpost and down the sides. And get in that house, and when the death angel comes, you'll live. The ones that don't do that, firstborn will die. You see, it was a place of safety. It was a place of safety. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, Christ is our Passover, is our sacrifice for us. You see, we have this Passover, this lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. John says, behold the Lamb of God. It is the Lamb in the Old Testament. It's His Lamb. It's God's own Son. And it's your Lamb. It's your Lamb, Joshua. The blood of Jesus Christ is protecting us, is covering us. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And as children of God, we need to remember that we already won the victory in Christ. The victory is ours in Christ. I like what Brother Perry said Wednesday night on the battle. When Christ comes, we're riding on the white horse. All of the ones that come with him, they don't have swords. He's got the only weapon. He does the fighting for us. You know, as Christians, we don't have to worry. God is on our side. He will fight your battles for us. I heard a preacher friend of mine one time, he came under contact. The old devil was really on his case, and it would have been easy for him to lash back out, but I was with him, and they were saying some things about him, and he didn't do any of those things. And I said, why don't you speak up? He said, that's not God's way. He said, let's just pray, and God will take care of that problem. We prayed about that problem, and I was thinking, well, I don't know. My faith wasn't as strong back then, but I learned a valuable lesson that day. He didn't say a word to anybody about that man. But the next day, that man was found dead. God had took his life. And I said, you know what? Well, with God on our side, we don't have to fight back, do we? He said, don't ever fight back. Don't ever lash out. Let God take care of it. He always will take care of it. He's on our side. Some 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross, and he said, it is finished. The battle is over. Prepare your life in Christ. And then I want you to notice something else. Turn down to verse 11. I love these scriptures. And they ate produce of the land on the day of the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they'd eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate of the food of the land of Cana that year. There's always the feeding of an army. You know, you can be defeated if you have an army. You know, when we went to, I guess it was Desert Storm, I believe it was, when I watched them come in there with all the planes. That's been years ago. Some of you wasn't even born then, were you? But the United States had brought aircraft over. They brought men over. And they, you know what else they brought? They brought food over. An army don't just run on men and weapons and gas. You've got to feed that army. Well, one of the most important things for the army is the food. Now, these people had eaten manna for 40 years. Manna, 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 manna. And they crossed the Jordan River. They said they ate the produce of the land, the fruit of the land. Up to this point, it's just been manna. But it was manna that God had provided for them. Now the food in Cana reminds us of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. We feed upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the written word of God, it makes so real to us how the living word of God is what we are to feed our life upon if we are going to grow as mature Christians. Now, every time the devil tempted God, he used the word, didn't he? The word says this. The word says that. When the devil tempts you, you need the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You need the living word of God in your heart, folks. Now that's the food of God that he's prepared for you to do battle with. So you ought to hide God's word in your heart. Get that spiritual food. This Bible is not just a book. I believe with all my heart it is a living book. It is the living word of God. It's still alive today. It's God's word to us that we might know how to live. If you don't know how to live, the devil's going to consume you. This world is going to consume you. It's going to spit you out. This world, if you haven't noticed, is against you. And it's getting more violent, more unfriendly to Christians every day. Somebody said this morning, They took him off of Facebook because he said something about, instead of harassing the president, they ought to look further than the one that was president before. That was hate speech. They took him off. I said, you said it about the wrong president. You see, the world doesn't like you. It never will. The flesh, the things of the flesh don't like you. God says we must get to feeding on His Word because we are doing spiritual battle every day. What does it say in Ephesians? Man, it says, put on the whole armor of God every day. Where is that armor? It's found in the Word of God. You cannot be victorious if you're not properly fed on the Word of God. That is the reason it's so important. I love to see all these children come down. That was started back in 1987, I believe it was, in this little building over here. We had just a few children, and we'd have them come down to the front, and we'd teach them the Word of God. Because let me tell you something, folks. You may think it's not so important, but that is important to develop those children to listen to the Word of God, those stories about the Bible. They sink in. They hear them over and over. You know, one thing about these children here at First Baptist, they know the Word of God. Some of them know more than the adults do. But you ought to get yourself in Sunday school or Bible study. You ought to get yourself with your children in a Bible study. You know, and those, spend those quiet times with them. It's important in your family life. Let me tell you, if you don't get it in them, the devil's going to pull them out of it, I guarantee you. Then there's the leading of the army. Look at 13 and 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, I love this, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversary? So he said, no. Now, you know what I'm thinking? What in the world is an answer like that? Are you for us or are you for an adversary? And he says, no. Maybe he didn't understand me. That's what I was saying. Are you for us? Are you for our adversary? No. You know what? Here we have an answer to a very important question. Who is in charge? Who is going to lead us today to victory? We have General Joshua. He's out there. He's surveying the situation. He's sizing up that city of Jericho. I tell you what, it's a big place. He goes out on his own. He starts looking at those walls. Man, it must have been an awesome sight looking at that great city. The walls are so high, so wide. I can imagine as he looks at that city, he's thinking, you know, there is not a way in the world that our little ragtag army can take that city. We're not fighters. Man, how are we going to do that? Well, he looked at all the problems and he probably said, no way. And then as he turned around, he felt the presence of someone else. And he sees that man there standing with a sword. Have you ever done that in your life? Felt the presence of someone? You know, he spins around and reaches for his sword. And then he says, man, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? He's really asking him, whose side are you on? Are you a friend of ours or are you a foe? The man said, no. That's a you know, funny answer, isn't it? No. Well, what he's saying, he said, listen, Joshua, before we can win the victory, the conqueror has to be the conquered. The conqueror has to be the conquered. And folks, let me say you this. Before you win a victory, you have to come to the point where you lay your sword down, and then you're in a position to win the battle. He was saying, Joshua, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. You see? You don't follow, they don't follow your orders. You follow my orders. Now let me ask you today, who's in charge in your life? Who's in charge? You? If so, that's the wrong answer. Question. God has to be in charge. You see, I'm not in charge of this church. This is God's church. He just lets me preach here. I'm so fortunate that I have such a loving God that every Sunday morning He lets me come up here and preach to a great group of people. And this is what He says. You're not in charge. I'm in charge. If you want to win victory, you've got to let me be in charge of your life. He told Moses, Moses, loose the shoe from your foot because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Joshua came to Canaan, a pagan, godless land, and the Lord says, listen, you're on holy ground if you're on the ground with Jesus. Let Him win the battle for you. We have a tendency in our life to decide, you know, I'm going to be in charge. That's our tendency. I can mess up more in 1 minute than most people can mess up in a week. I just work that way. I found out the other day I am no carpenter. Man, I appreciate somebody that can use a hammer and a nail. I hit the wrong nail every time. I am no mechanic. I just can't do those things. God didn't call me to do those things. The Bible says Jesus is with you, Joshua. He's wherever you go, and He is holy. Listen to me, Joshua. I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. And here it is, the evening before battle. And Joshua lays down his sword, he takes off his shoes, and he lays down before the Lord and gets God's word, not his. You see, folks, if your eyes is on the world, if your eyes are upon your problems, you're going to fall flat. But if your eyes are upon God, if your eyes are focused on Jesus Christ, then you're finally ready for battle. You're ready for battle. Now the Lord says there's some things that you need to do in your life. One is, first thing, you need to trust Him as Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that. You can't have eternal life without it. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by good works. No man comes to the Father by knowledge. No, you come by faith in the Son of God, trusting Him. He alone can save you. If you're here this morning and you're already saved, then prepare yourself for battle. Man, we're going to have a revival at the end of this month with Brother Bob Pittman and Keith. What's his last name? Wilkinson, okay? Man, I tell you what, it's going to be a great time. But I ask you right now to start preparing. Let God start speaking in your life. Start praying about it. Getting rid of the anger, getting rid of the pride, getting rid of whatever might stand in your way. Let God cut it out. Maybe you just need to come and recommit your life to Christ. Somebody said, well, if I come down there, everybody know. It don't matter what people know. Man, I tell you what, I'd rather be right with God than people any day. I found out a long time ago, I can't get right with everybody. Nobody likes me. But I can get right with God, and then they like me better that way. I'm a more pleasant person when I right with God. And then if you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God led you, won't you come? Follow His will. He leads us step by step. Now, I always say, if He doesn't lead you here, don't you come. Only if you feel like He's leading you here, you come. Because then you'll be in the right place. And you'll be happy, and I'll be happy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much today for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, as we prepare our lives for war against Satan. Lord, if there's someone here that's never trusted You as Lord and Savior, today might be that day that they come. Lord, whatever decision we need to make, we ask that You let us make it right now. We give You praise and honor and glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.